Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Stephen Ledbetter, Dave Poor, and Maniac Medic. Coming up on this episode of TMS, not the quirk I'm looking for.
It was a close call.
He made the donuts. It was time.
Are your teeth part of your skeleton? Because I, like, really wanted to know.
It's Jack Skellington, not Jack Teethington.
Drank from the Paul Rudd fountain.
Tuck, tuck, goose.
I ate a fish that had a bomb in it.
A little better, a little worse.
Attack of the Pixie Cut Brunettes.
Make your 90s business again before everybody dies.
Mighty Peppy and my Kepi.
Don't put it into your tomato soup, if you know what I mean.
6 more weeks of Amazon Prime.
Pulling a half Johnson with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In the home, the farmer's wife will be cooking with sound waves. The roast that takes 3 hours now will take 3 minutes tomorrow.
They must be working on it. Are they?
Do the bees know they make honey for you? This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, January 8th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. You sound much better.
A little better, but a little worse. Both better and worse.
Better and worse. Yeah, let that cough persist, I guess.
Yeah. Little like congestion. It's like this cold is saying, oh, you thought you were done with me. Good luck with that.
Do you ever feel like that husband in those old 80s commercials that would sit up out of bed and go, and the wife would go, what's the matter, Larry?
I should have eaten the last meatball.
I used to love those. Yeah, I used to think they were so
you
funny.
You ate it, Ralph.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the lady. It was Ralph.
Ralph.
His name was Ralph. Oh, my Lord.
Was it like a Pepto-Bismol or something? I can't remember. It was like some sort of indigestion.
But there was always these.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Oh, you ate it, Ralph.
You ate it. Yeah, no, there was a thing back then where the husbands were the stupidest ever, and they were the ones getting sick all the time. And the wives were just exacerbated.
Except for the one who had to make the donuts. He got up and he made those donuts, that guy.
Yeah, he was stoked. He was ready to rock that morning.
Yeah.
So real quick here before I forget, I realized right before the show that my dentist taught me something when I visited him, what, a week ago tomorrow, whenever it was. And it was this. So we had brought up on the show that there's this phrase going around, or there, I'd heard it anyway, where people said the only part of your skeleton that you'll ever wash are your teeth. And I thought, oh, that's cool. You mean like it's the only exposed part or whatever? But then I always had these questions about, well, your teeth, they can come out. There's nerves between it and the other bone.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going bone to bone, right? It's not like an extension of your jawbone. There's
and it's
roots
true.
And
it's
gums and stuff like that.
And it's true of all bones that they, you know, tendons and cartilage and other things make up the joiners that then continue on to your arm or your hand or whatever. Yeah, and technically those act that way. But I said to him, I said, is this a realistic thing to say that the only part of our skeleton that we ever clean is our teeth? And he said, no, because they're not part of your skeleton. Now, when you die and you see a skull, it has its teeth in it.
Sometimes,
Sometimes, not always, but sometimes.
Depends on what you're doing when you died.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're freaking...
It's funny that you'd ask him this. Like,
oh, I love questions like this. You kidding? Yeah. I love stuff like this. Yeah. I like to get philosophical. So he was down to answer. He goes, well, we wouldn't really consider it that because they do come out. Now, that being said, you'll find a lot of skeletal remains that have the teeth still in. And you know, he gave me this whole rigmarole, but it was a fun way to explore it. So technically, according to my dentist, your teeth are not part of your skeleton. However, I put it to Dr. Jerry Tolbert, who listens, to write in and give us a more overall doctor perspective, less of just a dental perspective on the deal.
And your point about, you know, when you see a skull, a lot of times, at least the skull that we visualize has its teeth.
Yeah.
You know,
almost always, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there must be something besides just simple cartilage that would otherwise rot away. Something in there is holding them.
Something.
So I don't know. Yeah. So maybe it's true and he's just wrong. Look, I've had dentists before that tell me stuff that I don't believe, and this might be one of those. So Jerry, pipe in. Do no harm, Jerry.
It just feels like it doesn't feel like a you know, the largest organ in the human body is your skin kind of thing. It doesn't feel like an exact thing. It's like, you know, skeleton, there's a asterisk next to the word skeleton.
There you go. I agree.
Yeah.
And it should be, it should be as such. Anyway, hey, something great happened. A miraculous thing happened.
Yes. Tell me.
All right. It's a new year. Time for new miracles, everyone. Don't get bogged down on the negative things in life. Forget about there being an election year this year. All this stuff. Forget about it. Here's what I want you to know. Finally, somebody, apparently with money over at Amazon Prime Video, bellied up the money it took to deal with the music rights that was holding back the streaming rights for Northern Exposure, the 1990s classic dramedy. From being streamed properly in this era that we're in of streaming. And something finally broke the dam that was holding that back. I don't know who did it. I don't know why. I don't know if Jeff Bezos himself popped his head out of his penis rocket and said, make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah. But you did see his shadow, which did help.
Oh, that always helps, Jim.
We got 6 more weeks of Amazon Prime. Free shipping.
I was gonna say,
6 more weeks of free shipping.
6 more weeks of Cyber Monday. Enjoy, everybody. Anyway, Northern Exposure is now on Amazon Prime Video and in its entirety. And for the most part, there are a couple of examples that I haven't run into yet, apparently. But somewhere in the series, there's like 2 songs that couldn't be resolved. But the rest of the series is as it was. And I'm here to report that is... I ended up binging like 8 episodes as soon as we heard about it, Kim and I. Very fond... This is comfort food for Kim and I. When we were dating, we watched the show. When we got married, we made sure Mondays were all squared off right up through 95 or whatever to make sure that we always saw it. We were recording it on our VHS, DVR, whatever.
Must see Monday night TV.
Yep, on CBS. And that music, the setting, the characters, in particular Maurice. All I have to hear is that dude say stuff. And I'm brought back to a very happy time. For me, it's major comfort food. So if you were like me, a giant fan of that show, who, honestly, it is the progenitor of, I don't think you have things like, well, maybe you still do, but in a different way, but you don't have things like Schitt's Creek and things like Parks and Recreation and things like, I don't know, think of a quirky
Veronica
town.
Mars, Erie, Indiana.
Exactly. Think of a quirky Gilmore town with Girls. Quirky people in it. Right.
Yeah. I think so. This came out. It was a couple of years after Twin Peaks, which was my introduction to forget Mayberry. Here is a quirky effing town.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I watched Twin Peaks. I was smothered in it, engrossed in it, fascinated with the whole like the mystery, ooh, Bob and Laura Palmer and Ramped in Plastic and all that. and then Northern Exposure came out and they said, hey, we got a quirky town too. And I started watching and I said, yeah, but you're not the same kind of quirk that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I think I watched a couple episodes and never got into it. So
now
I'm gonna look at it as this is my chance to revisit Northern Exposure and Joel and Dana Delaney. No, Dana Delaney was China Beach.
Oh yeah, that was China
Beach. Who was the brunette, pixie haired brunette on Northern Exposure? We had that all over the 90s.
Crap.
Pixie cut brunettes.
I liked her and I don't remember her name.
Yeah. Anyway,
She was great, though.
Yep.
Same year, by the way. They both premiered in 1990. I don't know if they premiered the same time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
They were both 90, and they went to... Well, Northern Exposure went to 95. You got two seasons out of the original Twin Peaks, right? I think.
Yeah, just two.
And then back in 2017. But anyway,
Jeanine
I have
Turner. Thank you, Jeannie. Yeah, Jeanine Turner.
Well, Jeanine Turner. Oh, yeah, she's the one. Well, she's the one in
Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure, yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, you're pixie short hair ladies. Yes. Yeah, she's great. And she's still great. I'm watching this and going, oh, yeah, you're awesome. And I guess she has a really popular podcast, but doesn't everyone now?
Yeah, right, everyone. Exactly. Who doesn't?
Anyway, the point is I have a theory. Here's my theory. So now that we have it, there's been rumors rumbling around that they're going to reunite everybody and do like a 8-episode follow-up.
Really? Okay. All right.
So back in Sicily, Alaska, all these actors are still around doing stuff. Put them in there. Hurry up before John Corbett dies. Or not John Corbett. Barry Corbin dies, who is getting real old. And the guy who played Pauling, the guy that ran the bar, he's like in his late 90s, so you got to hurry up.
Is that Michael Ian Black? He was on that, right?
No.
That was where we first, no?
No, it's Rob Morrow is the main.
Rob Morrow, okay.
He's your city.
I thought I'm thinking of Ed. Ed was another quirky town.
Oh, I liked Ed. Ed was good.
I liked Ed a lot, too, yeah.
Yeah, he's also great. By the way, Rob Morrow, he looks great now. That guy really aged.
Yeah, he looked like he may have drank from the Paul Rudd fountain.
A little bit, yeah. They are very interchangeable, those two faces.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have this theory that if they are going to do an actual reunion and do like an 8-episode one-off or something, that this is a predecessor to that. Because it's been, seriously, you couldn't stream it or get it really in great formats for 30-something years.
Right, right.
So now that it's back, I think that means they are working on it. So that's my hot take. And then there also is a thing where Seinfeld just did a live show somewhere. He's up on stage. He does Q&A after. I didn't know this. They're probably filming a special. And somebody said, what did you think of your finale?
Oh.
And they expected him just to talk about the finale of the show. And he said, well, let me just say that we might be working on something connected to that final episode, and that's all I can say for now.
Really?
So I don't know what that means, but I think we might be getting a Seinfeld little one-off 6-8-episode deal. I don't know. Yeah. Not like a new series or something. But this is the rage right now. Take your 90s business and make it again before everyone dies.
It's like basically exactly, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for those people who felt like, I just didn't get enough closure from Melrose Place. I need to know what happened to Billy and Amanda.
Oh, my gosh. Please don't bring that one back, though.
Well,
I guess they did, right?
If these other ones make money, that will, too. That'll come
didn't
back
they kind of
well.
They kind of did that? Or didn't? Or am I remembering this
they kind of did. Didn't they kind of do a thing with all the Beverly Hills 90210 actors where they put them all on Riverdale?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like how they did all the Friends people on...
Cougar Town,
yeah,
right.
Which I thought was kind of fun and creative.
That's a clever way of doing it. I still say the best episode of Cougar Town is the crossover with Community, where Abed is in the background while Busy Phillips is chatting, and he gets a stomach thing that he talks about in Community, has to run out, knocking over a chair or something on the way out.
I don't remember that. That's
great.
The
most brilliant crossover, because then he talks about it on the special birthday Die Hard episode where he and the My Dinner with Andre episode of Community, where he's saying, so Joel, I finally got my chance, and Cougar Town reached out and they said, oh, you're like a super fan, we really want to be on. So I thought, oh, I get to be on Cougar Town. I was an extra. And then I thought, wait a minute. If I'm in Cougar Town, can I still be a fan of Cougar Town? Or does that break the lore of the show?
Yeah.
And it was just such a hilarious Abed moment.
I got to watch that again, that show.
Yeah.
I got to binge. If I'm going to binge a show, it may as well be Community, right?
That's a great one to binge because it is just so brilliant for most of its seasons.
Most of its run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even my love of Northern Exposure ends with the last season when they brought in Rob Morrow left and did his, he thought he was off to Hollywood stardom. So he leaves kind of like the dude from NYPD Blue does.
Oh, yeah.
And unlike NYPD Blue, they couldn't make it work. So he leaves, and this new guy comes into town and basically has to play another city Jewish doctor who's got to somehow melt in with these people. And it's like, no, you got to change it up or something. You can't just repeat the last thing. And that thing didn't last. I don't think he even made it through that whole season. Maybe it did. But up till Rob Morrow leaves, classic TV. Mm-hmm. It's great.
I'm curious. Speaking of which, here we go. Community movie is filming happening in summer 2024 for holiday 2024 release.
Oh, good. That got all delayed up from the strikes. That was pretty
good. From the writers and actors strikes, yeah.
Yeah, that one got hit hard, if I remember right. Well, good for them, and may Dan Harmon have another chance. I don't know what that means.
Yes. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. He's making a cartoon now that seems to be doing fine. The one Randy recommended, that Crapopolis thing. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a Dan Harmon joint.
That is a Dan Harmon joint.
Also, we got a follow-up about Loud Asian Cities. And I don't remember the conversation we had exactly about either. This. But Rishi B explains. Here you go.
Hey there, Singapore and Burma. This is Rishi B calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan. On Tuesday's episode, you were talking about Asian cities and how they have all their very loud cars. And Brian mentioned that the tuk-tuk in India, he was talking about the tuk-tuk in India. Listen, you hand-waving Americans, putting all things in of one country in another. It's not the tuk-tuk in India. It's called the auto rickshaw in India. Oh, yeah. It's a tuk-tuk in Thailand. You hand-waving Americans, I can't believe you. But anyways, true, yeah. All Asian cities are really loud. You are right about that. Oh, wait. Am I a hand-waving American, too? No.
I love that he ended it with no.
I love it. I love Rishi B, man.
Rishi B's so great. Cool. Yeah.
He's totally right. And why didn't I think of that? Because the Thai restaurant, one of the Thai restaurants that T and I like, is called Tuk Tuk. So.
Oh, that makes sense.
I should have made that connection that it wasn't an Indian restaurant. It's a Thai restaurant.
Right. Rishi B's got some background in Asian stuff, family and that, I think. So
he does. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he'd absolutely know. He'd know what's up. Yep. He brings culture to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I can tell you that much right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rishi B, for that. If you guys would like to send in your own phone calls to correct us or inform us, yell at us, tell us you love us.
Whatever you need to do.
We don't care. Yeah. We don't care what it is. 801-471-0462.
Quick update on TMS Vegas for folks. Should have contract in hand today or tomorrow. After working on this and really trying to get it back from her since before Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Yep.
The one change I'm happy to announce is that we'll have 6 hours in the board game room as opposed to four.
Ooh.
And no extra cost. Because I know we always felt like, God, 4 hours goes so fast in there.
It seems like enough. So, it's not. It's never enough. You know,
it's never enough.
It's because we all want to talk and hang, and games are long.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you think about 4 hours and you got a game that takes four or takes an hour, you're going to play four rounds of that. That's nothing.
You've already. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
that's great. I love hearing that.
Yeah. So that's going to be nice. And we've got rough pricing, which is pretty much on par with what we saw for Cyber Monday, but they are reducing the resort fee for our room blocks. So resort fee is cheaper. Room prices are about the same as Cyber Monday.
Oh, so. Very nice. I like the sound of that entirely.
I know a few people bought early, and I think, you know, she said, yeah, just make a list of everybody who bought early, and we'll get them added to the room block afterwards. So
let me ask you a question. So I was trying to get into Half Asses here.
Yes.
And I'm getting booted out.
Let me reload.
Is Dunaway in there? Let's see.
He is. Yes, he is in there.
Okay, so what's mine?
Try reloading now.
All right, let me try it now. There we go. Did it work? It says my password's incorrect. Something changed. Hold on. Let's just try this again. Feud login. Okay. Sign in. Can't seem to find your account, it says. Okay. Well, let's try this one. Oh. Okay. It looks like it was just flipping out for a minute. I'm in now. Okay. I'm in. Yay!
Yay!
All right, good. Emergency averted. We got a quick text here about this. He's anonymous. He says, I'm enjoying listening through my TMS backlog, and in the 25-56 episode Half Asses game, This is last week, I think. The last question was either stated wrong or it was a trick question. Kilimanjaro is located in Tanzania, not Kenya. Mm-hmm. You can see Kilimanjaro from Kenya, but only the foothills are located across the border. Mount Kenya is the largest, or excuse me, the highest mountain in Kenya, but Kilimanjaro is about 5,000 feet taller than Kenya. I've hiked both. Both are spectacular. Adore the performance. Nevertheless, an anonymous listener. Now,
yeah,
that's fine. Corrections are good. Whatever. Makes some, that's all good. But the fact that we have a listener who has hiked both.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mount Kenya and Kilimanjaro, I don't feel worthy of his listenership.
No kidding. No kidding. By the way, clarify, not a correction. It was a trick question. They wanted you. See, that was one of the ones that was wrong. It was, I have the card right here. The card says Moops.
Yeah.
No, card is, they wanted you to think, oh, Kilimanjaro, it's got to be the highest, because it was the highest points in their countries.
Right.
And it said Mount Kilimanjaro, Kenya, with the intention of making you think, oh, has to be Mount Kilimanjaro, because that's the tallest point in Africa. But it's not in Kenya. It's in Tanzania. And it even puts Mount Kenya is the highest point in Kenya.
See?
So, anonymous, you're right that it was a trick question, but it was not incorrect.
That's right. Also, will you be our Sherpa when we go hiking up
please,
those mountains?
Yeah, please do.
Be our Sherpa. All right, now we do this. Yeah, the familiar refrain that happens on Mondays for the morning half-asses. Joining us is Mr. Brian Dunaway, all the way from South Carolina. Brian, hi.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
How is your Monday?
Well, you know, it's still
so
starting.
Far snowy.
Oh, yeah, ours too.
We really?
Fresh inch of snow on the ground. It's lovely outside.
Only an inch. We got like an 8 or 9 or some silly number.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on here. Have some of it. It's too much. I don't like driving.
No,
in it.
We don't need it. We don't want it, sir.
We've got snow.
Yeah, of course you don't. We've got it in our mountains, which is good because then we get the water and the runoff and all that. But no, we don't.
Is that how water works?
Yeah. Have you heard?
What is the significance? What does it mean, though? What does the water mean?
Yeah, tell us what you think the water means, Brian. Brian,
it means that Brian Ibbett's a smartass.
Darn right.
Darn
just
tootin'.
Ask anonymous.
That's right. Well, that smartass is going to help us win some prizes for some lucky listeners. Hey, Brian, explain this show and how it works.
Yeah. Welcome to Morning Half-Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and 6 possible answers, 3 of which are correct and 3 that are, like anonymous's correction, incorrect. Depending on how confident, I'm kidding. He or she just called it and said, I think it might have been a trick question or wrong. It's like, yeah, it was a trick question.
Yeah.
Depending on how confident you feel with each category, you can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Guess 1 and get it right, you get a point. Get 2 right, you get 3 points. Get all 3 correct, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And we've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you are playing for Will in Oxford, UK.
Ooh, oh my gosh, I think that's Will. That's our friend Will. That's Will. My brain
is the Will.
Well, his name is in the right there.
Is his full name in there?
Yeah. But what is his handle?
Hold on. Let me look. I'm looking.
I thought it was a different.
Oh, different Will. Different Will.
Not Will Harris.
Not Will Harris. Will with a D. There you go.
Yep. Brian, you're playing for Jeff Beverly in West Jordan, Utah.
Yeah.
Scott, do you know Jeff Beverly?
I don't.
No, that's West Side. That's he. Don't know anybody on the West Side.
I live on the West Side. I don't know him personally. Maybe I do, and I've seen him at a thing, and he's using a nickname usually or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Might be a handle that we don't know.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, those are our two contestants. We got some games. We'll tell you about those at the end. The prizes at the end of the competition. But let's get into the competition. All right. First category is people who died. Name these people who died. People who died at the age of 27.
Oh,
which that's of the these people who people? Died. They died.
It's the 20. Right. It's the 27 Club thing, or
it's
something.
The 27 Club. Which of these people are members of the 27 Club? You've got Mozart, Tupac Shakur, John Lennon, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin.
I believe I know these.
Janis.
I believe Joplin. I do not, but I am going to guess.
I will guess your question. Beep boop beep.
I am guessing questions.
All right. I locked in with three. Did you lock in with three, Dunham?
I locked in with three as well.
Both of you locked in with three. I guess this was too easy because you both got them right. Yeah, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, and Janis Joplin. Lennon was 40. Tupac Shakur was 25. Mozart was the ripe old age of 35.
And aren't there there's some others, right? There's some others in here. Like
lots. Yeah, there's
so many.
There's some actors.
That's the reason, why there's a thing.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin died that same age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Not music.
I almost died at 27. Does that count?
You almost died at... Really? Shut up. What'd you do at 27? They almost killed you.
Oh, my God. Just trying to live through 27. Come on, Scott. You remember 27?
Holy hell. I was hoping for a story like, oh, I ate a fish that had a...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
A bomb in it or something. I don't know. I was hoping for more, but we didn't get it.
Well, good job for both of you on that first one.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to number two. Sports, because you guys both are just know sports inside and out.
Oh, yeah.
Which of these
they call me sports head.
Yeah.
Do they?
Sports.
I don't know who does, but I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
Which of these are controversial plays from NFL history? You've got the Bush Push, the Music City Miracle, the Immaculate Reception, the Holy Roller, the Fifth Down, and the Hand of God.
Oh my God.
Controversial
plays from NFL history.
I think I know two, so I'm choosing two.
Okay.
Although I'm very nervous that I know nothing.
What'd you choose, Dunaway? Oh, you chose.
There we go. Now he's locked in. All right.
I chose it like 3 seconds before.
Well, I didn't see the locked thing come on until just now.
Yeah.
All right. You guys both selected the Immaculate Reception. Yeah, that is an NFL play that's got a lot of controversy to it. Scott, you also chose the Fifth Down.
Damn it!
College.
The Bush Push,
the Fifth Down, and the Hand of God were all controversial college football plays. The other three were NFL.
Shoot.
It was a trick question.
Anonymous.
I should have gone with one. Then I would have tied at least. Damn it.
It's all right.
All right.
Let's get to number three. Your chance to catch up and surpass happen right now. Which of these are types of headwear? You've got the cloche, the matryoshka, whatever that.
Which of these words can't Ibbet say?
Yeah. Exactly. The pennywood, the kachina, the kepi, and the budanovka.
Oh my gosh, budanovka. Dude.
These all sound like words that are not real.
Well, I have to go at least two here. Mm-hmm. The question is...
You do. If you wanna win, you have to go with two.
Didn't we talk about a cloche? We had a cloche conversation about something.
We did have a cloche conversation.
I don't remember what it was, though. I don't remember the context.
Like
the
headwear. I don't know.
Cloche.
I'm just going to. There's a guess.
Okay. Brian's locked in.
I'm doing it. I'm going.
All right. Okay. Scott's locked in as well. The Budanovka. I'm going to find a picture of it.
Is that a Russian thing? Is that a Russian hat?
Yeah, it's that big old Russian hat.
It absolutely is.
That George wears that falls apart because it's made out of rat hair or whatever. Is it like that?
You already know way more about it than I did.
No, it is. It's like the revolution hat. It's like what you always picture Che Guevara wearing. It's that like red star on the front, cloth kind of cap that comes down.
That Schwarzenegger wears in Red Heat. Is that, which one is it?
I'll put a picture in our chat. You can share this with the chat room, but that is correct. I mean, that is a form of headwear, so you got that one.
All right. Good job, Scott.
Thank you.
The cloche is a thing that covers food. But it's also a thing that covers your head. So cloche is correct.
What if you have food on your head? Then what happens?
Then it's even better.
And the double cloche.
And the pennywood, much like the matryoshka and the kachina, is a type of doll.
Shit.
Type of headwear.
Shit. Damn it.
Yeah.
We both chose pennywood, cloche, you only chose
pennywood.
Yeah, only I did. But this is hilarious how he and I have, for the most part here, stayed in the same zones. Like, we've gotten the right stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we usually don't do that. It's usually a lot more often.
Yeah, because you both locked in. What was question number two again? It was the, right, you both chose the Immaculate Reception, and you both chose Pennywood.
Crazy.
Holy roller.
Yeah. I would wear let's see. I think I would wear, so the kepi, can you tell me about that, or kepi? What is
this? Yeah, the kepi is, it's like that cylindrical hat, like an engineer kind of wears. You see a French, I think French soldiers wore it, but it's like a, it looks like
French,
a cylinder.
The French in their dern headwear.
With a brim.
I know what it is, the one that Tom Hanks wears in that.
Yes, in the Polar Express.
Polar Express, yes, yeah, exactly. There it is. Here you go, chat.
In the Polar Express.
Yeah, I hate that hat. I think that's a terrible hat.
That hat. That's a great hat.
I would never wear
it's
that
It's a great
hat
if you're trying to balance something on the top of your head and you need a nice flat surface for it.
Yeah, this feels like a hat that would fit me
like,
very
like
ill.
Hot chocolate?
Yeah, like that. Why not? Why not some hot chocolate? Sure. Oh, they also, you know what? They give the kepi
or
to the Civil War hats. They call that a kepi also, it says here.
Oh, do they? Okay.
And it's very similar. Not as flat on top.
Is that where we get the word cap from?
I don't know. Is it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Jeez, look at all the brains on you, Brad, today.
It's possible.
All right. Well, that means that I lost for my city and my local friend.
Did I never send that? There's the Budenkinova, whatever the hell it was called.
Oh, there
Buden
we go.
Bendover. I don't think that's right.
Budenovka.
No, not Budenbendover. That's not right.
Budenbendover.
No.
Send Dunaway right over. Dunaway, you won for your dude.
Utah. Go Utah.
Well, no.
Congratulations, Jeff Beverly. Yeah, you're getting a copy of Chivalry 2 and Road 96. One's an immediate sequel. Another one took 95 iterations to get a sequel.
No.
Chivalry 2 Road 96. But don't worry, Will DeMott in Oxford, UK. You're getting Trek to Yomi or Yami.
They're both. All of these are considered good. I've only played Chivalry 2.
Chivalry.
Can't speak to the rest of it personally, but I hear they're great. And also, I was confused this entire time. For some reason, I thought I was playing for the local guy. And I'm not. Oh. I didn't. And so I still feel good about what happened here today. I'm not
maybe a little subconscious sabotage.
Maybe no offense to Will in the UK. I'm just saying.
I automatically assume that if I'm picking somebody from Utah, that you're going to play for them.
Yeah,
or
just this feeling of automatic loyalty. I just felt like I had to do it, so I did. And in my heart and mind,
got to pull for the home team.
That's right. Congratulations to the both of you. According to Scott Fletcher, he would say this:
congratulations, you're a winner.
You've done it. Congratulations, Dunaway. You did it. You won something for somebody. How does that make you feel?
Well, honestly, Scott, it makes me feel pretty good. I was kind of down, but now I'm up.
So. Oh, you're up now. Well, that's good.
Good.
That's good. Well, don't be down.
Glad you're not down anymore. And I'm sorry you were down earlier.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're sick. It's weird seeing Ibbot sit in his chair.
I know. Weird, right?
Tell me
the image of the future.
No. Oh, gosh. Hey, what are we doing?
I don't know. I can't stand up.
Who's our guest today?
That's
exploded.
Funny. You see anybody in a chair and you think, oh, that'll be them when they're 80 for always. They'll only ever be in a chair then.
Yeah, they'll only ever be. Never be standing.
Real quick, we did a really fun film sack over the weekend, and people should check it out.
But we ain't got
no
friends.
Throw Mama
from the Train, a movie we talked about, a reference a billion times on the show, and we finally got to see it. And I'm happy to say I think that movie held up, and maybe held up more than any of us expected. I don't know.
For sure.
Piece of poop.
I think so.
Yeah, you piece of poop. What was the whole line, Dunaway? The piece of poop line? Do you remember?
I can't remember now. What does she call him? I've got to go back and watch it again.
Clumsy poop.
Clumsy
poop.
Yeah, it was good. In fact, you know what? I have it here. I may as well just play it. Let's just play that as a way to get people in and seeing that movie. Hold on. Here we go. You clumsy poop.
You slumsy poop.
Yeah.
Oh, slumsy. God, I love her
she
so
says
much.
Slumsy. Slumsy, slumsy poop. Poop.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. When she first started calling Owen in the movie, she called him like, it sounded like she said Irwin.
Irwin.
And I was like, Irwin, oh no. Irwin. Have I heard that wrong my entire life?
Yeah, I know.
Get me a soda with some ice in it.
Yeah.
You let it to poop.
She's amazing.
No.
Never forget Anne Ramsey, one of the great actresses of all time, mostly because of that and the Goonies. Anyway, Brian, we hope you have a great day. Kiss our butts. Bye. Oh, he had no time to reply. That's a shame.
Aw.
That's a real shame.
No, you.
All right, we're going to do some informing. We got journalism to do, you know?
Sure.
And it starts with this. time for the news, brought to you by...
A shout out to H for being a cool dude. Everybody should be more like H.
I agree.
That's A-E-C-H.
Guy's awesome. Just a cool dude in our community.
Another cool dude and dudette in our lives. Yeah. Choco Mama. And her husband who sent me something very cool over the weekend. A little magic carp.
I also got something cool. Where did it go?
What'd you get?
It's upstairs. Crap. It's a He-Man. Not Lego. What's the other? Mega Bloks.
Mega Bloks, yeah.
Mega Bloks He-Man set that is got little tiny Prince Adam and then a version of him. It looks like He-Man and then Dark He-Man or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not exactly sure, but anyway, it's this whole Castle Grayskull set and everything. It's just a very cool thing to get in the mail.
Yeah, yeah.
They are great. We love them.
I got a Magikarp. A moving Pokemon Magikarp Mega Bloks thing.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, both Mega Bloks. I didn't know that.
It's huge, too. It's like, yeah.
Well, to them, we say thank you.
They
and
are
also,
cool and shout outs.
Yeah, and yes. I ate her some of her chocolate last night as well to celebrate.
Very good.
Moving on to the story. We got a story about a mountain of used clothes. Normally, you'd think that would want to go to charity or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for some reason, a mountain of used clothes appeared in the Chile desert. Like, ooh. I don't mean Chile like cold, like Chilean desert. And then went up in flames almost immediately.
Oh, wow. Spontaneously? Like,
well, I'll give you some details because that part is...
Okay, please do, because that's confusing.
That part is less than clear. The story was originally published by Grist. I don't know what Grist is, some newsletter. Yeah. Anyway...
Don't trust it.
It says, on the morning of June 12th, 2022, Angela Astudio, then a law student in her mid-20s, grabbed her water bottle and hopped onto her red Nissan Juke. Speaking of cars and other places with names that aren't the same here. The Nissan Juke.
Nissan Juke. I think that actually did come up in that half asses with, is it a real car or a fake car?
Did it? The Juke did?
I think the Juke was in there, yeah.
I would drive a Juke, I'm telling you right now. It's not a problem. The founder or co-founder of Dress Desert, a textile recycling advocacy nonprofit. Sounds right if you're trying to get old clothes to people. And the daughter of tree farmers. She lives in a gated apartment complex. None of this matters to the story. Anyway, as she exited the compound, she pulled over next to her car next to a road and greeted a fashion professor there and three of her students who were also waiting inside. I'll get to the bottom line here. They get up there. They see this huge mountain of clothes. They don't know why they're there. But they just looks like it's all been dumped by dump trucks. Just like there's a photo here. Let me pull this up. This was on Gizmodo.
Oh, I'll pull it up for myself as well. You don't need to.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Huge. That's a massive pile. That is a way bigger pile of clothes than I was expecting.
It's a lot. And
you see the little car like next to all of them. It's like, oh, that is massive.
Yeah, that's a ton of clothes. It almost looks like people from the shot. But anyway, and then they set it on fire. And nobody's exactly sure why, except this lady's, of course, mad because she is part of this group that would want to redistribute these clothes to people.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's like discarded clothes from brands like Adidas, H&M, Ralph Lauren.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Bummer, right?
That is a bummer. Yeah. Yeah. That could go to people who need it for sure.
What's going on, Chile? What's going on? Chile. I don't know. Am I saying it right? I have no idea.
Chile.
Is that the way?
Chile. That's the way.
Ask Randy. He'll get his machete out.
Not chili.
Let's see. Here's a story about don't lick your car. Well, don't let
Okay.
Don't let the moose lick your car.
Oh, well, that too.
Which is perfect for my viewing of Northern Exposure. There's a prominent moose.
There
in
is a moose,
show.
Right? That wanders around the town. You see him all over the opening credits, if I remember correctly.
You do indeed. And he also kind of just shows up and stalks Rob Morrow's character a lot.
Oh, really?
It's like a kind of running gag that the moose shows up at inopportune times.
Is the moose real, or is it all in Joel's imagination? Is it Tyler Durden?
If I remember right, he questions it.
Yeah,
I don't know that I've gotten to that episode yet, but I did get to the episode in season one where there's a myth about a beast that lives in the woods called Adam.
Man, pig, bear.
No, but it's very similar kind of vibe.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, nobody can explain it. Or man bear pig. Nobody can describe what it is. It creates all kind of havoc and problems and kills things and all this. But it turns out it's just Adam Arkin who, and I don't mean, he's not playing Adam Arkin. It is Adam Arkin playing this character named Adam.
It's just, right.
They just didn't change his name.
Adam Arkin lost in the woods of Alaska.
Exactly. And he's running around in the woods. He's just kind of not homeless, but like on purpose, just trying to avoid society. And it's a great storyline. It's so good.
What? I don't know if we said what service is Northern Exposure?
Oh, Prime. Because I was Prime. Doing the Jeff Bezos joke about him.
That's right. The Jeff Bezos sticking his head out.
Yep. Yeah, Prime. Prime.
And I even made the joke about 6 more weeks of free shipping.
Oh, right. Yeah. But yeah, he
that's how long my memory lasts. Thank you very much.
They, it's all right. You got cold brain or something. What was my point? My point was that Adam Arkin's great, I guess. But let's get back to the story.
Not as great as Alan Arkin.
No,
he's okay.
Alan's the bomb.
The King Arkin.
Yeah, I would agree. Although Alan Arkin's very small but wonderful role in season 2 of Fargo was really good. I remember him being in that. Mm. Everybody's been in Fargo now, and if they're not in it, they're trying to be.
Brief appearance in the movie Little Miss Sunshine netted him a Academy Award nomination too.
That's true.
For like 7 minutes of screen time or something. That was less than Ann Ramsey.
That was a good movie. I should watch that again. I like that movie a lot. Yeah. First time I ever saw that Paul Dano fella. Mm-hmm. Freaking weirdo.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Moose and squirrel.
Moose and squirrel. Try not to let moose lick your car, warns the Parks Canada, as more moose flocks to highway. So what happens is, this time of year, the moose, not migrate, but they move down lower where it's warmer, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Parks Canada, which is what we would say U.S. National Park Service. They just say Parks Canada.
Parks Canada, right?
PC. Is warning drivers not...
It's a PC way to say it.
Yeah, it's a PC way to say it. Exactly. It's the exact PC way to say it. Did not stop on while on highways to let the moose lick their cars in the winter. I guess this is a thing that happens. Peculiar message to many people. Do not let them do this because the salt on the roads to control snow removal and such gets on your car. The moose are attracted to the salt on your car. And if they lick it, it's actually bad for them. Anyway, say don't do it. Unfortunately, this kind of puts the moose at risk of being injured or killed if they get hit by vehicles and so on. Parks Canada understands that seeing this in the wildlife is a real highlight for a lot of people, but we ask people not to stop so that the moose can't get used to licking salt off of the cars.
Just stop on the highway, pull over, come lick my car. Come on, come lick my car. Exactly. Throw the fork. Yeah. Come lick my car.
It says, part of the problem, Rhea says, this is the person there, says the large creatures search for salt in the winter because they need a lot of sodium to maintain their bodily functions. Mm. So it's the thing they need. But that stuff that's on cars is not like pure salt.
Magnesium chloride or something.
Yeah, there's other shit in there. Nobody's sprinkling that on their tomato soup, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. They're not sprinkling on their tomato soup.
You know what I mean?
If you know what I you know what you mean, because that's quite literal.
Yeah, there's no like subtext there at all. It's literally just don't put it on your soup. Yeah. I don't know why I said it that way. That made me laugh, though.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're literally saying don't put it on your soup.
You're literally saying don't put it. It's not what you put on your tomato soup.
Here's another little. We got a lot of wildlife today. That's just the way it is. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, it's fine. Monday is Animal Day on TMS today. Yep.
Welcome to Animal Day. Feral aggressive peacocks are wreaking havoc in a Houston neighborhood, according to residents. You can never trust those peacocks, man. They're there to be the worst player on your Apple TV device. It's not good. I don't know why that thing's so janky on mine, but it's terrible. I had to reinstall it twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Peacocks have been kind of bad for me.
Well, it's a crummy interface. Like sometimes you say, oh yeah, resume, and it starts the show over at the beginning, or it freezes when it's doing commercials. It almost always has to do with the stupid commercials on there.
I almost this reminds me, if it hadn't been for Northern Exposure, guess what I had queued up and ready to watch, and I'm still gonna
Parasite.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, Jury Duty.
Beef.
Ready to do Jury Duty. I'm like, I'm in the mood for this. I'm finally going to cave and do it. I have aversions to reality shows, but you have sold me on it, Brian, and so has everybody else.
This is, put those aversions to rest. This is not your Real Housewives Pawn Stars bullshit. This is
men. Then
this will make you feel good about life.
Good.
Has Kim watched it?
No, she's. We're gonna do it together. We're gonna watch
good.
It.
Yeah, you gotta watch that with her. She'll
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. Wasn't what's his name up for something yesterday?
James Marsden was up for his role in Jury Duty.
His role as James Marsden.
His role as James Marsden and his giant dookie in Jury Duty.
That's
yeah.
That's amazing. Well, anyway, these peacocks, they're feral and aggressive, according to authorities. Kelly Donahue proceeds with trepidation when she takes her four dogs to work because of these damn things. She's checking the roads, treetops, and bushes for peacocks.
Didn't know they could be that aggressive. That's really funny.
They're more accurately, by the way, called peafowl, which I didn't know until I read this.
Mm. Right, because isn't it peahens and... Like, peahens are the females and peacocks are the males, and so peafowl is the general term for them?
Is the group of them? That sounds right to me. Which ones are the most... Is it the males or the females?
The males are the okay. big... yeah.
Because I know that swaps around. Birds, often it's the males who are all flourished.
Right.
And then...
Right.
But in other...
The bright, more brightly colored of the...
Two. Yeah. But in a couple of cases, there's, like, really nasty, ugly ladybirds, and then the... Or no, it's the other way around. Ugly males... Who have to fight over... I can't remember where I saw this. It was one of those, here we see the female... Blah, 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 one of those.
Borough business.
Yeah. I could have used his name, I guess.
Yeah, usually it's the male that's brightly colored or poison, or brightly colored makes you think they're poisonous or is poisonous. You know, like it's
a right.
thing that's evolved over time that like the poison dart frog has made other frogs decide to... turn fuchsia as well to make everybody think that they're poisonous.
Right. And but they're harmless in the end, some of those.
Something like that.
I like that shit. I like when animals look scary but are real. There's nothing to it. You know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
certain fish will get all puffy
like
and
coral,
weird.
Coral snakes, get back in the house, coral snake. coral snakes are bad, but then there's like a if red is next to yellow, that's a harmless fellow or something like that. Like there's another snake that has the colors of a coral snake, but depending on how the colors are arranged, it's the non-poisonous versus the poisonous variety.
So if the red, okay, let's say it's red and yellow.
Yeah.
But that implies it has to start with one color or the other, right? So at the beak, the head. The beak, right. Well, the beak of the snake. Listen to me over here. The beak of the snake.
It's not like, so it's like the way it's colored is, black, red, and yellow.
Okay.
Black, red, yellow, white. But there's usually a color that's surrounded by another color.
Oh,
so
I see.
Yellow surrounded by red.
Okay.
And that's bad. Yellow with red in the middle, so it goes yellow, red, yellow, is fine.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense, because that's a pattern you can see. If it was just two colors, it would be like, it would have to always start at the nose or not start, you know, or and then alternate.
Here it is. Red touch yellow, kill a fellow is how you
I love you know. I love folklore-y kind of ways of explaining nature. It's my favorite.
Red touch black, safe for Jack,
really. I was hoping Jack. It was send it back, but that's fine. Flush it down if it's brown.
Flush it down if it's brown, downtown.
Something about yellow, let it mellow.
Here's the poem right here with pictures.
Oh, I love so pictures. See, like, let's see it. Sense.
Oh, look at this.
All right, this is great.
Yeah.
Let me pull this over into the thing so chat can see it. All right, look at this, guys.
Red touch yellow kills a fellow.
Red touch black.
Friend of Jack.
But the idea here is in nature, stuff that knows that the, you know, animals that know that the top one is bad, this other one is like bad enough. They're like, whoa. I don't know. That looks like the same
thing.
Because
a lot of animals
don't
understand rhymes. So this is an easy way for like us to be safe.
Yeah.
But other animals in nature who don't get rhyming.
Which turns out a lot don't.
A lot of animals don't get rhyming.
They really don't.
Don't understand it.
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe they do, but we can't hear it.
Which is.
When you hiss, take a piss. They know that one.
Yeah, they know that one.
Yeah. Everyone knows that one. Come on. Yeah. That's amazing. Anyway, these peacocks, or this peafowl, they're prone to attacking humans, cars, animals. They're doing property damage to houses, this kind of stuff.
Jeez.
They walk into traffic without any hesitation. It doesn't matter how many cars are coming. They see them. It doesn't matter. They're just walking out. I guess when you're feral, it's different than if they're zoo type ones that are all kind of calm and chill. Anyway, compounding the issue, says Heathwood resident of Linda Aber. Said Heathwood resident Linda Aber.
Okay, I was going to say, there's a lot of words right there that Heathwood is the place. Linda is the person.
I want to name something Heathwood. That's a great name.
Heathwood. Hey, welcome to Heathwood.
Hello.
Houston.
Let's see. She says, I lost it. What happened there? Scroll down. There it is. She says that I saw seven of them smashing into a car the other day. They tore up roofs and broke windows. Once they even chased a group of kids. Oh, man.
Jeez.
And I don't mean goats. I mean like children. Okay.
Dangerous peacock gang roaming the streets of Houston.
Yeah.
Feels like, I don't know, just feels like they should be pretty easy to take out. They're kind of slow moving and they
got
those big old trains that they have to pull, basically.
Yeah. How they don't run. They're not fast. They don't fly, right? I don't think. No. Do they? I don't think they do.
No, and when you hit them with your car, it's like a boom, big splash of color.
And it always makes the same sound, which is doom, 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 doom. We were both thinking of the same dumb idea. I love it. All right. Speaking of dumb ideas, we're going to have Steven on here in a minute.
Yeah. And it's a great idea.
No, it's a great idea. I take it back. It's a great idea. But that'll be after this break. We have to do a break, and the break involves music, and Brian brought the music. So tell us about the music.
Yeah. So this one comes to us from PR firm Made by Robots, a new electronic music label that has offices in Berlin and London. This is a group called GPU. Makes sense, right?
Sure.
Made by Robots, GPU.
Yeah, why not?
And a song called Cigarette After. Cigarette After what? Well, we're going to let the song explain it because it does. Mm. Here is the band GPU and Cigarette After.
Cigarette afterwards refers to the act of smoking a cigarette after a meal, after a stressful event, or after completing a task as a way to relax and unwind. Pleasurable experience. It is important to note that smoking it is a highly addictive and harmful habit that can lead to a wide range of health problems. Cigarette.
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I want a car and a fire extinguisher and a gun.
I'm not loving your semen.
And we've returned. Hey, who is that one more time?
Sure. That is GPU and a brand new single called Cigarette After. There's a few different versions out there. That's the long version, the 4 minute version of the song.
Nice.
Not really that long. 4 minutes is a good song length.
I think so. I think that's about as that's. What do I like? I don't like it when a song's too short. I don't like a 2 minute. Right. You know, Green Day's got one of these new tracks is amazing. And it's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Freaking F that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Give me more like
The Clash. The Clash said the perfect pop song was 2 minutes 59 was their thing. So 3 minutes roughly for a good rock.
I like a good 3 to 4 is my range, unless you're doing something rad, and then I'm okay with like 8 to 10 if it's something interesting and cool, you know?
Yeah. Right.
The 70s type stuff. All right. We got one Steven Schleicher coming in, and we'll introduce him with this.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Oh, I can confirm he's a giant nerd. Hello, Steven. Welcome back to the program.
Hello, Scott. Happy New Year, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah. How's your year so far? What's going on over there?
Well, this morning I pulled a Johnson.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Tell us more.
I was a little peckish.
Uh-huh.
And there was a leftover hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
And a tortilla.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then so I threw a little shredded cheese, some mustard ketchup, heated that stuff up, ate a doggerito.
Woo! Nicely done. Now, it would have been a full Johnson if that hot dog was about a week and a half old.
It was probably only maybe 4 days old.
Okay.
Okay, not bad at all.
You're
not
still in a safe space when you eat a hot dog that
way. Well, we'll see in about an hour.
So. Yeah, let us know. No, that's great. Did you do the ketchup and mustard before the microwave?
No, after after the microwave.
All right, just making sure that because that sounds terrible.
How else do you get hot mustard?
Yeah, that's what they mean, temperature. That's definitely what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's it, sure.
Major Spoilers, of course, is where you hail from, the fantastic website and podcast and network and all these amazing things you do over there. And we love having you on to talk about nerdy stuff. And you've got a little bit of a list of your favorite bits of media in 2023.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, not a best of, but just favorites, because I, unlike Brian, don't go to movie theaters, so rarely.
Yeah.
And so, I can't say if I talk about my favorite movie of 2023, I can't talk about Barbie or Oppenheimer because I didn't go see those.
No.
Right.
Nope. Although Barbie, I think, just dropped on streaming.
Both of them did. Yeah. Barbie
and yesterday
Oppenheimer
or something?
Both available for stream. I think Barbie was available earlier, but maybe not. Maybe
on one of the.
It was teasing rental or something, but I could have sworn it was free streaming earlier, but maybe not.
Where did Oppenheimer drop? Is it Apple?
Oppenheimer Prime, I think? Or Prime, is it Apple? Maybe it's Apple.
Crap. Oh, it's rentable. It's not streaming like a service thing yet.
I thought it was already. You're right. Yep.
So, but that's good. I mean, for $5.99, I could watch it.
And that'll be Peacock is Oppenheimer.
Oh, okay. That's a Universal deal. Or Universal. Yep.
So I've got five categories here. Movies, TV, comic books, gaming, and music.
Oh, very nice.
Okay.
These are all things I enjoy greatly, these categories.
Yes, good choices, all of them.
All right. Yeah. So Brian, why don't you pick a category first?
Steven, tell me about comics, because that's your
comics.
Listen, there were a lot of great comics that came out in 2023. I spent the holidays catching up on the Spider-Man run. There's the new Ultimate Spider-Man that drops today, so this might be a favorite comic of 2024.
Oh, cool.
But my favorite comic book series of 2023 is Conan the Barbarian over at Titan Comics. You know, Roy Thomas did a fantastic job when he was doing stuff at Dark Horse and Marvel back in the day. But Jim Zub, who has been doing Pathfinder comics, Dungeons and Dragons comics, he really gets this high fantasy kind of stuff. And he's a huge fan of Robert E. Howard. And so it just seems like this natural pairing of Jim Zub and Conan the Barbarian, which is like a breath of fresh air considering what Marvel was just doing with Conan in their recent run. So if you get a chance to go read Conan the Barbarian, I think the first six issues are out now. Another one I think either drops this week or next week. It's from Titan Comics, but definitely my favorite comic series of 2023.
You were not alone. I heard nothing but raves about this year, so I got to get in there. Yeah. Didn't we had Zub on Comic Dorks once. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was fun. In fact, I think you arranged it. I think you're the one that got the interview, and he was great.
He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super most definitely. Nice. All right. So we got movies, TV, gaming, and music, Scott.
Let's go with gaming. Curious where you landed there.
So in 2022,
this was, by the way, this was an insane year for gaming. So no pressure on you at all here. All right.
I guarantee you that my favorite game of 2023 is definitely not Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
That would have been like my boy's favorite game.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, there's so many great games that came out. But in 2022, I fell in love with games like XCOM 2 and Hard West.
Yeah.
And so in October of this year, the Lamplighters League Tower at the End of the World dropped, and I have been playing that nonstop. I'm no good at it, but for a tactical RPG type game, the Lamplighters League just occupied all of my time.
Yeah.
All my free time.
This was a game that I got. It was actually on Game Pass, so I didn't have to do much to get it, but I played it on Game Pass, and it was criticized early on for being a little buggy at launch and having some issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the what really made up for those issues was the setting and its sort of its vibe, you know. The best soundtrack I think of the year. It had an amazing soundtrack in this game.
Yeah, so think pre-World War II. Mm-hmm. There are three factions that are trying to get to what is essentially the Tower at the End of the World, a.k.a. the Tower of Babel, and you and your team, the Lamplighters League, have to go and take them down and get to the tower first and save the world. Right. It's got a really cool Cthulhu World War II vibe to it. Unfortunately, the game didn't sell very well. And they released one DLC at the end of December, and then they're like, "Yeah, we're shutting down our support for the game, and it's still going to be available. Go have fun, but we will have no further updates after this."
Yeah, I think they're going to be moving on. So for those that are like, "Well, who made this?" They actually have a really strong place in the tactical RPG space. They did those Shadowrun games in 2013, 2014, and then the Hong Kong follow up in 2015. Those are amazing isometric cyberpunk Shadowrun games that play off the original Shadowrun series. And then they also did the Battletech game in 2018 that is pretty revered. Everybody loves Battletech. And I think Lamplighters League just kind of came.
Didn't it drop like the same weekend that like Baldur's Gate or something dropped? It was crazy.
This happened a lot this year. There was so much stuff that came out that nobody was giving Baldur's Gate the pre-launch respect it probably needed and the space it needed to land as big as it did, because the big time games suffered because of it. Like Starfield got dinged by coming out at the same time. I think Lamplighters was roughly the same time and that had the same problem. A lot of games did this year. So I think this is kind of a good game in the rough. I haven't been back since they've done a bunch of the updates, and so I'm sure that there's a better experience there. But if you get
the last patch and the free DLC, which introduced another character for free, and you're going to have a lot of fun with it. And again, I know a lot of people are like, "No, I like Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom," or "I like Baldur's Gate 3. That's great. I played a little bit of Zelda with the boys, and didn't get around to doing Baldur's Gate just because I can spend $60 on Lamplighters League or $60 on Baldur's Gate. And so I went with Lamplighters.
You went with what you love. And look, you know, if you like XCOM, if you like tactical turn-based strategy games, well, I guess BG3 is that as well. But good year for that. And Lamplighters League was one of them. So there you go.
Yep. All right, we have movies, TV, and music, Brian.
What do you say, Brian?
Well, since now I'm picking music.
Music.
All right, so I thought this group broke up and hadn't been doing anything in many, many years. And suddenly in October, my Apple Music says, hey, Steven, there's a new Blink-182 album out. And I was like, what? And it's called Blink-182 One More Time. It is everything that you expect from Blink-182, but this time instead of their previous albums being like, F it, we're going to live forever, who cares? This time it's like, oh, F it, we're not going to live forever. And so there's a little bit more melancholy and regret in the album.
Yeah.
But there's still just some really great songs in that. So if you're a fan of Blink-182, definitely, if you did not see their October release of that, you need to go and listen to it.
You will get no argument from me. That is a fantastic album. It is a it is a trend right now that these 90s punk pop bands are coming back with a vengeance, with new material. This combined with those new tracks from Green Day have been some of my favorite stuff this year. So you and I are in the same boat here. That even if you're not a giant Blink fan, and I was never that big of a Blink 182 fan. I was always more Green Day, more, I don't know, I like Sum 41. I liked Pooh did the Untergleben. No, not them. Who am I thinking of?
Def Leppard.
Yeah, I know. I got the wrong band or the wrong intro.
Offspring
is who I'm thinking of. I used to be really into them. Yeah. But they're all killing it right now. And I don't know what the deal is, what's in the air, but I'm all here for it. And
Has Everclear made its way back?
I don't think Everclear has made their way back.
Only at college parties.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I'm going to pick movies. Yeah. Let's do movies.
All right. Listen, Barbie, Oppenheimer, just big hits at the box office this year. Somebody had the nerve. Somebody had the gall to go onto Twitter and say, hey, this was a banger year for movies, especially when there was no big Spider-Man or Marvel or DC movie that was released. And I had to go and say, no, dude, June 2nd, 2023, the third greatest superhero movie dropped. And it was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I think
how can you not think that that was not one of the best, everyone's favorite movies?
The best movies. Marvel movie of the year, hands down. Even Sony deal.
But, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, except to say I think it's better than third place. I think this movie is like
top. Well, so Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, obviously the number one superhero movie of all time, runs up close against maybe one of the greatest animated movies of all time.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the number two greatest superhero movie of all time is Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Spider-Man Across the
Spider-Verse. Oh, I would have put Dark, and I was thinking second would have been Dark Knight.
Yeah, but, I'd put Dark Knight before I'd put whatever. Yeah, we're not going to fight. We're not going to fight here. We're not here to fight. We're here to love.
We all like
there's
what we like.
About, there's just something about Homecoming that I just love. So if you were asking me my top three superhero movies, I'm sorry. I love Superman 78. I love Batman 89. I love Dark Knight. But these three, if you were asking me, hey, Steven, you want to watch a superhero, that's the order that they would be in.
Wow.
And Across the Spider-Verse, really the only, as you said, Scott, the best Marvel movie to come out. And unfortunately, we're going to have to wait such a long time before the third installment comes in because of the way that this movie was produced, in that the writer's strike and the Screen Actors Guild strike meant that the movie is barely half finished when the strikes began. And so that means that this thing isn't coming out, I don't think, until the end of 2024 or the middle part of 2025.
I'm guessing
2025.
This is a bad year or last year was a bad year for two-parters, because we had the same thing with the Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. It's like, now we got to wait, you know, probably 2025.
And I'm sure Dune.
Dune got delayed.
I know Dune 2
twice.
Is coming out, but I mean, I think it also suffered a little bit.
It did. It got pushed.
It was supposed to be out last October, man. I was into it. I was so ready for that.
Yeah. What are you going to do, Scott, when Furiosa and Dune 2 have to go up against one another at the box office?
They got like 2-3 months apart. So you got March. Yeah, March for Dune Part 2, and you got end of May for Furiosa. That'll work.
Somebody said they didn't think Furiosa was going to make $1 billion at the box office.
They're insane. It will make $1 billion. Who said that? Because it will make that.
Some rando on Twitter.
Well, he doesn't know. He's an idiot. Yeah. The guy on Twitter lied, as I like to say.
I cannot imagine that movie not doing $1 billion easily. No, now, it's not going to be the first weekend, but within the first month, it could easily do that.
Yeah, no, it'll do it. It's not just here, too. Like, this is a renowned thing worldwide. They're going to make big money. That movie's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Everyone in George Miller, I trust every time. That's just the rule. Okay.
All right.
Brian, you got one last choice.
Final one.
Well, you know what? Since I love this show as well, let's talk TV.
Okay.
All right. So this is a show that's been out for a while. They dropped their third season in November, right after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And if you are not watching Slow Horses with Gary Oldman on Apple TV Plus, you are missing out on one of the great spy thriller TV shows that are out there. Now, Slow Horses is based on a series of books called the Slough House books. And these have been adapted. I want to say there's 6 or 7 books in the series. So if you get to the end of season 3 or the cliffhanger for season 3 and you're like, oh my gosh, is this series going to be continued? Apple has already given it a green light for season 5. The trailer for season 4 already dropped. So they've already shot most
of
that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think Apple realizes that they have a hit. If you go and look at the top shows that are on Apple Plus right now, it's like the Godzilla Monster Island show.
Monarch. Uh-huh.
Monarch with Kurt Russell. Ted Lasso still is up there very high.
Of course.
And then Slow Horses is right there and usually in the top 3 or 4 spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is. So people who aren't familiar, I'm sure Brian's probably talked about it on the show, but MI5 agents, when they screw up, if there's a reason why they can't fire you for some reason, then they demote you to the Slough House, which is the place where all the degenerates, all the dumbasses go.
Right.
And supposedly they get them to, they go there. Gary Oldman is this old Cold War spy who just hates everything in life.
Oh my God. And he's so great and despicable.
Yeah.
He is. And he makes everyone's lives so miserable there that he wants them to quit, so that they don't have to deal with any kind of lawsuits with MI5, et cetera. And the first season was a blast. Second season, I wasn't a huge fan of because it takes place in the summer, and so everything is brightly lit. Yeah. And to me, spy thrillers should be dark and rainy. And then we get to season 3, and it's all about what happened to all the old paper trail of data and top secrets getting out and everything. It's a lot of infighting among these organizations, and it's great.
Cool. Mm. I finished season 1. I have not done, gotten past it. Not that I didn't want to, just haven't yet. So it's good to know that I'm in for
Ryan, have you finished season 3?
Not season 3 yet. No, we're waiting until the end of last year to get all the episodes out because that's a fun binge.
Yes, it is.
So,
sadly, Apple wants to release this week after week. And I'm just like you. I'm like, I want the next episode now. Now, the one thing that Apple did do, and I don't know if they're doing it like midnight London time or something, but like the shows were supposed to drop on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, I think. Mm-hmm. But they would always show up around 8 o'clock my time.
Oh, really? So you get them the night before.
So I was So it was a great way to end the night is by watching a new episode of Slow Horses, my favorite TV show of 2020.
So good. Nice. It is so good.
Well, I'm very happy to hear this list. This list is full of good things. A reminder, Lamplighters League and Gaming for music, Blink-182, One More Time is the new album. Comics, Conan the Barbarian at Titan Comics, which I am absolutely going to go buy in mass right now and play and read. Slow Horses on Apple TV Plus, and the movie Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is my favorite movie I've seen this year, minus whatever I get out of Oppenheimer when I finally see it, if that beats it or not, I don't know. Or if Killers of Flower Moon does, or I don't know.
But that you won't have seen that movie that last year. You'll have seen it this year.
That's true. Yeah, that's my 2023-2024 movie of the year, or maybe. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Steven, it's always good to have you here. I wish you nothing but great things in the new year. Is there anything happening right now you want people to know about?
Well, we're prepping for a potential blizzard, but we'll see if that happens. But in the meantime, for all of 2024, let's remember to stay hydrated.
Oh, man, the new year, new hydration. Love it. Love it.
For sure. Yeah, we're also loving the new season of For All Mankind. Talk about your infighting. Holy cow. Happy Valley base. Not such a happy valley right now.
That's another one where I'm a season in and haven't caught up yet. They're in the future now, right?
No, they're still – the current season is 90s.
Okay. Well, that would make sense because
or early 2000s.
Because what's his name's not. He would probably be dead now if it was future. Right, and his character's still in there.
Yeah, he's looking pretty darn old, Joel Kinnaman, in this current season.
Yeah. I need to catch up on that. I need that.
2002. Thank you, Mid-Coffee. Yeah.
I need to watch the new Foundation season. There's all kinds of shit on Apple I want to watch.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Chambers. Every episode, like, they're dropping, Disney Plus is dropping all 5 episodes of Echo. So.
Oh, yeah, Echo's, when's that?
Tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. I liked her.
Kingpin action, some Daredevil action. Oh, my God, it's going to be so good.
You think probably no Clint Barton in there because he's all banged up since this happened, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? There could be some surprises.
Kate Bishop, maybe. Maybe she'll show up. We don't know.
Oh, Margot. Yeah, Margot and her defection. Well, defection. And it's so good. Good, Amy.
Watch for that. That is going to do it for us today. Big thanks, everybody, for watching, for being here, for being a part of the ongoing concern that is TMS. And patreon.com/TMS is how you can support us. And you've done a great job of that last year. But this year, you can do even a better job. Okay. It's all on you.
Try and do better this year, people.
Yeah, try and do a little better if you can. No, we've got, overall last year was a growth year, and we'd love to see that continue in 2024. That means new listeners. That means new opportunities. It means more fun. It means Vegas. It means lots of fun stuff. So please head on over to patreon.com/TMS today and get your fill of no commercials ever pre-show content every day, couch parties, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits that can be yours if you support us today at patreon.com/TMS. Yeah. That will do it for today. Brian, anything else before we do a song?
No. New soundography coming this week. We've got a sponsor. We're working out the sponsorship stuff, so we have to kind of record a sponsorship and pretend we did it during our recording.
I see what you mean.
Because we record our episodes so far in advance that it's like, oh, well, we've got to fix that. So anyway, that's coming. So,
they won't notice any difference in your voice from when you first recorded it compared to today. Your voice hasn't changed at all.
They won't, because we recorded our sponsorships before I had this voice, so.
You already did the, okay, I get it. I thought you had to go back to and make one. In. Yeah, okay.
Nope.
That makes sense.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to use a chatbot to do my voice.
It's like, anyway, Hammond, nothing has changed, and we're still in the same room talking together. I have a cold for some reason, only for this 30 seconds.
What I would do is I would, like, drink some water and go, oh, gosh, sorry, frog in my throat. Well, let me tell you about our sponsor.
I love it.
Yeah, so that it's a smooth transition. Hey, Dan Andrews wrote in and said, "Greetings, Storm and Breaker. I'd like to hear one of the songs from Last Night in Soho performed by Anya Taylor-Joy. It's not fair that she's such a captivating actress, beautiful, and she can sing. Maybe she has Jennifer Aniston milk breath, something I haven't heard Scott talk about in years. I don't know if she did more than one song, but I'm not picky. Also, this part can be read aloud, you can just answer, but what was your opinion about the identity of the killer? I felt cheated, since we know, blah, blah, blah. I won't say anything more there."
Yeah.
I don't know. They ended the movie the way they wanted to end it. It was a surprise to me, the reveal. But I think we overall enjoyed the film. I love the style of it, but they do kind of make you think one thing and then they go, up, surprise, different thing. Last Night in Soho. I don't know what if Anya Taylor-Joy is doing anything, got anything coming out, but for whatever reason, this is
nothing major that I know. The whole year looks
nothing
blank.
Major, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
She'll have a nice, easy, relaxing 2024 with no big projects.
Yeah.
Here's her cover of Petula Clark's Downtown from Last Night in Soho.
That's amazing. I didn't know she sang that.
She sounds and she sings it beautifully. She's got a great voice.
I'm blown away by this. All right.
Oh, yeah. She's got that New Mutants thing. That was really good. That's kind of a big project.
Yeah.
New Mutants.
Maybe the Vavitch 2, maybe. She's working on that.
Vavitch 2, sure.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Ooh, that guy's got a movie coming out. I can't wait to see. He's doing that Nosferatu redo.
Oh, right.
That's that filmmaker, and he's working with Willem Dafoe is in that. Oh,
right. As Max Schreck.
I'm so excited. I can barely stand it. Anyway, here it is. That's the song Brian just mentioned, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Downtown, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yep, and we'll be here tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of the show. We'll see you then.
downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalks where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget.
Frogpants.com.
Last call for 70.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.